All right. Good to see you today. We thought we'd bring back some memories. Let's all stand together. Time to worship. Are you ready? All right. Let's sing to the Lord this morning. Let's sing Hosanna. Praise is rising. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Cornerstone, we are so glad everybody's here this morning. Everybody's starting to wear their Christmassy stuff, and I still wore my fall stuff. But everybody looks like Christmas ornaments, and it's awesome. It looks really, really good. We have an exciting week coming up. We're going to have a whole bunch of people, not just from Jacksonville, from all over Cherokee County, walk through that little town, and they get to be exposed to the birth of Christ, and then they get to come through, and they get to see the cross, and I promise you, the plan of salvation will be shared with them. The Holy Spirit will be here, and He will be doing some stuff. So please, 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 if you're not doing anything with Bethlehem, or if you are, please be praying for those 2 hours each night. Amen. Be praying that God would anoint that time, that He would bring folks through that need to hear the good news, that need to hear the good news. We're very excited about that. Some other things that we're excited about. If you want to check in on Facebook or your social media stuff to let folks know that you're here, that would be awesome. Now, if you're one of those people that argue on Facebook and you say ugly things about college football, don't do it. Don't do it, because you're not walking with, you're not doing, we don't want people to know that you go here, right? So if you're being ugly on social media, don't say, I checked in here, right? No. Just kind of teasing, but kind of not. And then there's a card in the back of the chairs in front of you, a connection card. If you're a visitor or if you have a prayer need of any kind, fill that out and you can put it in the little offering baskets there in the back when you leave. And we're just so glad that we get to come here and worship today. We are really, really glad. I'm going to ask Elijah McCowan. He's our drummer over there rocking it. Hey, do you mind praying for us this morning, buddy?
Amen. Let's sing He Reigns. 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. The song.
couple of Christmas carols this morning. Let's sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Ready? Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strain. Oh, 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 Gloria in excelsis Deo. Oh, Sometimes stuff just don't work. All right, we're going to do one more song. Folks, we're going to invite you to sing with us, Joy to the World. We're going to include Our God Saves, because this is what it's all about. Let's sing together, Joy to the World, Our God Saves. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Last line, same thing.
Good morning. I think I'm on. Are we there yet? It says I'm on. Well, we got here. The whole family's here somewhere. Oh, way back here in the back, a whole row of them. So we got in about 4 o'clock in the morning on Thursday morning. Got all our stuff pulled out of our trailer. And I've still got a little brain fog. But when we entered the house, it was decked out in Christmas stuff. And my wife, my kids come strolling in, and they were blown away by your generosity. Thank you so much. For those of you that don't know, they decked out the house in Christmas stuff. The kids had presents under the tree ready to go. And then my wife as well, and I got a little present, and we're so grateful for all that y'all done for us to get us here. It took us a little bit, but we finally arrived. We've got our house pretty well sold. It is on pending right now. We've got a little, we had septic, I don't have to say that in church, septic yesterday. Next week we have whole house inspection and all that jazz. And so y'all be in prayer that this all goes through, that we get there where we need to go, and that we can get into a house here shortly. But we're ready to celebrate Christmas with our family. Everybody with me on that? And we're grateful that you guys were part of having my kids run through the house screaming, "Look what I got, look what I got." My wife is crying, and I'm like, "Okay, everybody calm down. You're just way overtired." We're going to be in John chapter 1. John chapter 1 this morning. We're going to start a series called God Came Near. And so we're going to be here this week, and we've got a couple other spots to land in the weeks coming as we quickly get ready for Christmas. This is going to take us all the way through and even the week after. But as we talk about wise men, as we talk about the birth of our Savior, the virgin birth of our Savior, right? This manger scene. Those are all pretty vital pieces to all of this. But the Bible indicates that this starts way before that. Why? Because Jesus starts way before that. He has always been. Yeah. And so as we get ready for Christmas and ready for life change and all that we're going to see happen through this season, what we realize is that there's something broken within us. And if you're here today and you're not a believer in Jesus, you can step outside of the world of religion and realize that. That there seems to be something desperately wrong with the human soul. And the best place this can be seen is not necessarily prisons or the house of ill repute, but at your local bookstore. It is that you can head down, I'm not talking about Mardell's, to any bookstore that's still around. There's not very many of them, but Barnes & Noble, if you arrive there, they have a section called self-help. And when you arrive at that section, you will find everybody is trying to fix what is going on that is intrinsically broken within us. So you go to the self-help section and you'll find out that you need a new body. If you don't like the one you got, you need a new one. And that you need to stop eating sugar. And it's whatever the local fad is at the time. Right? You need to all carbs, no carbs, some carbs. It's if you would just work out a little more, Pilates would save you. If you would be a little more flexible, that would work to help you in your life. And we find all these books just saying, if you work out more, you would be less stressed. Okay, well, there's a little bit of truth to that, right? Or maybe we should just take care of the bodies we've been given because it's the only one we got. Amen. You don't get another one. Amen. Well, someday we will, maybe, for some of us. But maybe you should go and check out some of these sections of the bookstore, because if you work out, there's salvation found in that. If you have an adequate bench press, well, that isn't going to save us. Thank you, Jesus. I can throw up 135 pounds a couple of times. Don't judge me. But the next section of books are on finances. Get out of debt. Get into debt. Get what you want. All your needs will be met. Salvation will come at the price of your soul giving it to money and things and possessions. And how many people have we seen die without Christ who have been rich in our history? You move on from there, and there are the other books, what we might call the Oprah Winfrey section, right? The section on spirituality, that you need to become the whole person. This wholeness idea that everybody knows that there's something broken within us, but how do I become the whole person? Well, I don't know. Just become that. Well, I don't know how to get there. And so we're sitting around drinking a cup of coffee, talking about humanity, and you can't think about humanity without thinking there's something dark and broken in us. Something has gone horribly wrong, and there's all these theories about why. Even the church throws its hat in the ring, doesn't it? Sometimes they throw it in the wrong place because we become the moral police. And when everything hinges on moral issues, you know, the problem boy is cussing and beer. Okay, I don't think that's the main problem. It's a symptom, maybe, but that ain't the problem at all. Now, the sacred scripture of ours is going to give us something that's much deeper than just outward action. And much deeper than inward thought patterns. Rather, the scripture teaches that when the fall of man occurred, when Adam sinned against God, that there was that the universe was torn, the very fabric of it was torn in two, and it ruined all of us. So every one of us is born sinful from birth. And I know it gets argued a lot, but I think that there is something to be said that people that walk around going, well, it's the environment that you grew up in, that's what screwed you up. My problem with this is, if you've paid attention to children at all, I just don't know that I can agree with that. Like, there's this deal with my wife in our 31 years of marriage where we've argued over the remote. Anyone else? And I will tell... Thank you, sir. I see that hand. Oh, I will pray for you. But here, I can tell you that I have never bit her to get it. I have never said, give me the remote, baby, and bit her on the arm and left her crying on the floor, taking it from her. It's never happened at our house, regardless of what you think. And yet, there's something that occurs in my kids, when they were young, and even today, that they don't mind physically harming another human being as the answer to get what they want. They're not learn. I've got strong feelings that they didn't learn that from Dora and Boots. Or Mickey or Goofy. I got a huge suspicion that there's a problem inwardly that has taught them little water sprinklers to do physical acts of random violence, especially the girls. Right? Like lately one of my grandkids, I won't name a name, Harlow, throws herself on the floor and screams as loud as she can. She has this high-pitched scream. Go get her, bring in it. I'll show you. Screaming on the floor because she doesn't get what she wants. And my kids and I, what we do is we bribe her. Don't judge me. When you're desperate, you'll do whatever you've got to do. So we'll take her to the latest piece of Disney crud, Moana 2, and I will foist upon them my free tickets from Cinemark so that they can do that. So so that we can bribe her to be a good girl. But the problem is, that little so-and-so is screaming rebellion, rebellion, rebellion. So what is it? Because I don't think it's environment. And the scripture will tell us, right? In Romans chapter 1, when it says this rift, this tear in the fabric of the universe happens because of the sin of Adam, and then for all now sin, it'll say there's three reasons or three things that have happened to creation, to us. That when sin entered into the world, we now believe that created things are better than Creator God. That we begin to put all of our time and energy and devotion and effort into created things rather than the Creator of those things. He'll say secondly that we now, because the whole of all of the universe has gone wrong, we are now even sometimes believing the lie over the truth of God. Now that lie that everyone buys into is what? What is it? That I know better than God. That I know better than He knows how to live life. And as we buy into that truth or that lie, now we are horrifically arrogant because the God who created the universe knows way better than we do. So no matter what card you throw down on the table, while you may have built great businesses, you have perfect kids. Can I get an amen? Right? You're great at sports. Whatever it is, God goes, well, pow, and throws down the universe card. I have created the universe and everything in it. And despite the fact that He is creator and sustainer of all things, there's still this thing in us where we think we know better. The third thing He says in Romans 1 is that we have all failed to acknowledge. Romans 1:28, that you and I are here by design and plan and the creativity of God. And so when you use your skills and abilities to make much of yourself and do not bestow the honor and the glory upon God Himself, you have become a blasphemer. Right? We never see this better than we see it in sports. You see Wilt Chamberlain, Olajuwon, Shaquille O'Neal slam the ball and go, whoa! You know, poof, I am the man. And you're like, you're 7'3". You didn't do that. Creator God did that. It wasn't like any of us, whatever you're good at, knocked on our mama's belly and said, hey, can I be good looking, fast, and smart? Not one of you did that. Whatever you're talented in, the God of the universe gave that to you. And that matters. That you give Him the glory for it. Amen. That you don't just consume it. Oh, I slammed the ball. You're tall enough that you don't even have to jump. No, when we give that out, we should, whatever you're good at, whatever you're into, that God has blessed you with, it is not sin, you ought to go, God, this should bubble up into worship. Not terminate on itself, but bubble up into worship to you. So this is what's wrong with us. This is what has gone wrong with the universe and permeated mankind in its darkest hour. So John 1, now the fracture of the universe, all that stuff is now changing over to darkness. That's the word we're going to use because John's going to use that word and it's going to be referred to as the darkness. Because that's what John is going to call it. It's the sinful nature we were all born in with, that darkness, that wickedness that we all have within ourselves. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Stand on up. Get on up. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. You may be seated. And so, in essence, what has just happened? God is saying, through John, He is saying that the Word in the beginning was God, and He was with God, and He created all things. He came among men and to give light and life to them. And in so doing, He overcame the darkness. He essentially extinguished the darkness, overpowered it. He wove back together the fabric of the universe. So how can we know this? How can we know this? Well, how we know this is because we see such darkness in our world today. If you turn on the news, you're going to see some horrifically negative stuff, yes? And as we watch this over and over, and some of you in this church are going through very deep waters right now. I think of Byron losing his mama. I think of Evan going and fighting cancer the way he is. I think of Dr. Crank's wife, Sandra Wright. We think of these individuals within our church who are going through stuff right now that's hard. Rick James, you with me on this? I know that some of you, as we enter into the holiday season, that's very tough on you. And in some terms, for some of you, it's addiction. Or maybe it's loneliness. Anybody with me? Because the holidays are some of the hardest times of the year for people. And if you've been in church all of your life, you know Jesus, you know the songs, but sometimes that doesn't seem to work for you during this season. And I know that some of you have been trying with all your might for your whole life, and you've been trying to make this Jesus thing work, and you feel like a failure. Then it feels like it looks like at times that the darkness is bigger and stronger and louder than ever. I mean, doesn't it feel that way sometimes? I mean, we can pretend in here. I've been in many churches, just love to pretend about this kind of stuff. And we never talk about the struggle and the pain that befalls us, those who love God. I mean, I can sit up here and lie to you. So how do we know, or how can we say that the darkness has been overcome? How can we be confident that Jesus has overcome the darkness? John 1 tells us, doesn't he? He says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Like Lila, stand up. Stand up. Is she back there? Stand on up. She's my youngest daughter. Oh, she's so cute. You can sit down. She's so cute. I remember 11 years ago that she was born. Now, Lila has a beginning. She was in her mama's womb. And she went from 1 to 2 cells. 2 to 4. 4 to 6. Or 8. I'm a Bible major, not math. 8 to 16. 16 to 32. And God didn't leave that biological process abandoned to itself. The Bible actually says God intrinsically wove her together. Her inner parts, both seen and unseen, both body and spirit. He did that in my wife's womb. And God explains that to us. And here's where Jesus is eternally different from us. See, Jesus' birth in Bethlehem was nowhere near His beginning. In the beginning was the Word, the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ, who has always been. The beginning of what? The beginning of everything. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let me tell you why I have such confidence that the darkness has been overcome, because we don't worship at the feet of a philosopher, just a teacher, a moral ethicist. We worship at the feet of God in the flesh. That is how I know that the darkness has been overcome. So, this is what we know that separates us from every other religion on earth. We don't follow the ways of just a philosopher, prophet, teacher. We follow God in the flesh. And that is the difference between Bethlehem. It is not the beginning of Christ. He is infinity days old when he is born. It's not the beginning. In fact, in the beginning, not only is he with God and is God, he is the active action of the creation of God. In Genesis, he'll say, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said, God said. Did I get nine in? Nine times he'll say it. And in those nine times, when he says, let there be light, who's the creative action of God? Well, Jesus is. It's always Jesus, church. Jesus. He's the active action of God. And so when God says, let there be light, Jesus creates light. When God says, let there be, he creates the expanse. That's our God. That's what he does. He's not just some moral man, philosopher, teacher. He is Jesus who has victory over the darkness. But he is God in the flesh, who is creator of all things, who is creator of, as creator of all things, has dominion and power over all things. So like Colossians 1:16 that says, all things were created by him and for him. Heaven and earth, visible or invisible, all things were created by him and for him. So as the creator of all things, Christ has dominion over all things, and he flexes this muscle all the time. Specifically, as it comes applies to nature, where you find over and over again, he'll curse something and it withers away and dies. Mm-hmm. You find one of my favorite stories in the Bible, storm comes upon his boys and him. He's asleep in the boat. The boys are scared to death. The guys who work on the sea are afraid for their lives. And all of a sudden, they go to Jesus and say, do you not care that we perish? Jesus gets up and says, quit it. And the seas and the waves and the rain and the wind all cease and calm comes upon. That's our God. That's what he does. And the Bible says they go to the end of the boat and go, well, that was freaky. My paraphrase. That was strange. Who is this guy? So Jesus over and over again flexes his dominion and power over all there is because he is creator. Matthew 8, two demoniacs are about to attack him. Yes? And they're about to come up on him, about to bum rush him. And they see who it is. And what do they say to him? Are you here to kill us already? Are you here to kill us early? Are you here to take us out? And I love that because there's no Harry Potter wands. There's no brooms. There's no chance to win there. There's no dualism. Does evil have a chance to win against God? No. Well, no. They're just saying, please don't kill us. In fact, we have no mention in Scripture where Jesus was ever in a debate with something of evil origin. He just tells them to shut up. Don't say a word. Be gone. Get out. In fact, over and over again, he says, be gone and shut up. And he doesn't have to do that. He's not given to the same requirements we are. Like his disciples go out and they're trying to cast out demons and they come back to him and they go, God, Jesus, we're having a tough time casting out demons. Don't you see Peter? He's got a black eye. My paraphrase again. And they go, we don't understand. And he tells the demon to be gone. And he says, oh yeah, these only come out by prayer and fasting. Jesus wasn't praying and fasting at the time. Jesus is God. He can do what he needs to do because he is God. And so there's no dualism. There's only get out of here. Stop that. Shut up. Why? Because it's significant to us, because he is God in the flesh, who has overcome the darkness. Now, John 1, verse 4, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and its life brought life to everyone. Now, in him is life, yes? And in his the teachings of Jesus, he's going to create this difference between existing and life. John 10:10, I have come to give you life and life to the fullest. Is that true, church? Is it true?
Yes, it is.
If it's true, then is it supposed to be a dominant factor in our lives?
Yes.
It should be. He says, I've come that you might have life. And he's saying this to fully functioning people. People who can hear and laugh and cry and have families and are married and can breathe and they have homes and they have jobs. He's saying in his creation is creating a difference between just your existing in this full life that he has come to give us. You need to hear me this morning. If you're here today and you're just inspecting the claims of Jesus, would you please hear what I have to say? Jesus did not come to judge. That's not what he came. That's not exclusively why he came to the earth. The primary purpose of God in the universe is not to judge you, but rather the display of his glory, his mercy, his love for you, his pleasure out of rescuing men and women out of the darkness into the light. That's what he came to do. Out of existence into life, into light. So I can sit up here and tell you all day long that people that don't know Jesus, they can have a good life. I've seen it. In 31 years, I've seen people that don't have Jesus, they can have good marriages. But you know what they can't have? They can't have the experience of all Christ has meant for them. They can't have this spiritual thing that the Bible calls in the Hebrew, dod. What is that? It's the intermingling of souls. So yeah, they can have body and soul experiences, but they'll never be able to have a spiritual experience in their marriage. Never. Because they don't know Jesus. How many of you have grown up in church and you've heard the line, there's a hole in the heart of man and only Jesus can fill it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Like, I've heard people say that very saying like it's scripture. Did you know it's not in the Bible? However, Ecclesiastes 3:11 says what? That God has planted eternity in the hearts of men so that they may seek him. Is that true? Yeah, it is. That we're going to have people over in Bethlehem, and they're over there. You know why? Because eternity has been planted in the heart of men, women, and boys and girls. And we try to fill it with all kinds of the temporary stuff to fulfill the gap of eternity. And that's why we're insatiable. That's why when we see my little granddaughter or little grandkids pointing at the TV, can I have that? Can I have that? Can I have that? Can I, right? Christmas time? They're insatiable. They can't get enough, but neither can we. See, there's lots of delicious stuff that will straight up kill you in this life because you're trying to fill your life with a chasm. In the chasm that only eternity can fill. Only Jesus can fill. And you're insatiable by nature because this darkness that has been planted in us, God has given us the opportunity because of Jesus to no longer be under its authority. It's right? This authority that it has over you, whatever this is, Jesus has released you from it. And to him, to the light, to the life, that you no longer have to give in to your insatiable urges, but now I get to listen to the God of the universe because of Jesus. See, Christ is not looking at you today and saying, man, if you just fix this and this, oh, you're not going to do that? Oh, I'll just kill you then. No. But rather, he's saying there's such greater joy to walk in. There's such deeper pools to swim in. He came to bring life because existence is all there is in the darkness. And so John 1:1-3. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. So we have this confidence, don't we? Nod your head, show me. We have this confidence that He has overcome the darkness, and He is God, and He is creator of all things, and has not come to judge and destroy, but rather to give life and life to the fullest. In Him is life. In Him is life, and it was the light given to man. We talk about the kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about that exclusively the last week of this series. But you think about the kingdom of God and the process by which Jesus takes us through to help us understand what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is a person. His name is Jesus. He has power, and He has given it to His people. And in this framework, there's the parameters of process. So you think about John 3:1, right? Nicodemus comes to Jesus. What must I do? You must be born again. The only way to get to God is you must be born again. There's this situation where God smacks you in the face that you're a sinner, you need a Savior. His name is Jesus. He dies on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again to life to give you new life so that you might be able to get the opportunity to live the life that He's always meant for you to live. And this is what we call in that process, the power of the kingdom, is what we call discipleship. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless a man be born again, talking about life again, and he's talking about this new birth, so we get out of existence into life. We quit living in the blue pill life, and we take the red pill. Anybody remember this? The four of you that have seen The Matrix, you know what I'm talking about right now. Right? This is the acknowledgement of Jesus. I need you to come into life with me. This is the moment. Truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. Unless you be made alive in Christ, the darkness rules. Unless one is born again in the light of Christ, the darkness rules. But if I'm made alive in Jesus' life, then I will illuminate the kingdom of God to Him and for Him. That's what I'm here to do, for the display of His glory, and His splendor, and the good of others. So, we're full speed ahead, decked out, ready to do Christmas. There are begrudging men on ladders putting up lights on houses. There are manger scenes where Santa is bowing before it. I'm not wrong. And there are people that started Christmas carols back in August on the radio. Yeah, some of you are already tired of it. And all of these things, small group Christmas parties are happening. There is nostalgia in the air of bad Christmases and good Christmases alike. Everybody with me? And we can be in awe of what God is going to do in Bethlehem. We can. But truly, what we ought to be in awe of is of Jesus, who knew no birth nor death. He was never created, but became creation. We ought to be in awe of the one who is infinitely powerful, who limits his own power and becomes flesh and blood for us. And I want you to be in awe that God came in flesh to bring life, so that the darkness that has chewed our families up for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years would be pushed back. He has conquered the darkness, not because of anything that we do, but because of what He did. And one day, we are in awe today of His birth, that virgin birth, but we will be in awe of His return, and it will be very soon. And I can't wait. And that is what we should be in awe of. And I hope that you will meditate upon that. Rest in it. Pray over it. And that's why it's imperative, guys and gals, to watch our souls during this season. Jesus is an amazing gift to us, given by God to us. And you have been given the privilege, the opportunity to tell people how they can escape darkness and walk into the light. How they can escape death and be eternally saved in life. That's us. And I hope that you'll do that this week. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? No one's looking. And so this week, man, I hope that you'll take the time to pray for those who will be coming through Bethlehem, who hear this story for the first time. This God who is with us. The Bible will talk about next week that Jesus came and set His tent up in our backyard. He did that. That we could stare out our back window and we can see Jesus set up there. God incarnate. How do you like your chili? Con carne, right? You like it with meat? That's Jesus, God with meat on His bones. Incarnation, anybody get it? That's who He is. And so this Christmas season, man, I hope you'll take this and you'll do something with it because it matters. God, we come to You this morning asking You to be in us, our purpose, our plans, our agenda, our lives, our goals will all be about You because You came to give us life and life to the fullest. And sometimes I think we sit in church and we act like life is just a downer. And it's not. I'm not saying there aren't hard times and there aren't hard things. There are. But we know that Jesus has overcome the darkness, and that ought to give us hope. It ought to give us gratitude. It ought to give us joy. Help us to walk in that this week as Your people. It show up on our face no matter what we're going through. God, we would see You at work in the lives of people because we are a light that shines in a dark place. We are pushing back the darkness because of Jesus. Help us to be Your people like that this week. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And all of God's people said, would you stand to your feet? If you need to do some business with God today, you want to join, you want to be a part of us, whatever God's doing in your heart, if you come as we sing.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me.
Hey, thank you guys for being here today. We're so glad you came out. Man, I hope you'll take a next step and invite someone back to Bethlehem. I think Byron's going to come yell at us for a second about that. No?
I'm not going to yell.
You're not going to yell.
I'm asking for help.
So, hey, just for a second, would you have a seat for just a second? And Byron, won't you come on ahead? If you're new to this space, don't forget the seat back in front of you. There is a guest card. We'd love for you to fill that out. Put it into the offering baskets on your way out. Love you. Thank you so much for being here. This was helpful. Give it to someone else. Tell someone else about it online. Have them look us up and see the message for themselves. And then this week, as Byron will tell you, he's looking for help, but we're also looking for you to invite someone back to hear about who?
Jesus.
Every single week, we hope you'll do that. God bless.
Just a couple of things I wanted to tell you about. I have one shop still left, the basket shop. I don't know who done that last year, but if you feel led to do that, or several of you do, that'd be a big help. Some of you that are new to our church and want to fit in, hey, don't worry about it. Just get a costume and come. We'll use you somewhere. We would love for you to be involved. Also, Mary and Joseph, if you're interested in that out of the youth group, would you see Branson? We need a Mary and Joseph that will be at our major scene. Share on Facebook today again, if you could, this afternoon, so people that had it and didn't see, no, they won't come tonight. We're starting. That would be also a big help for that. Park behind the gym this year. We did that back here when we're working. Please park there because a couple of nights we run out of space and we expect big crowds, so please do that for us. On Tuesday, let's try to be here at 5:30 if we can. That'll be our first night. Normally we, kind of meet and get everything going. We'll talk before we pray. We'll meet out in the city. Also, the hospitality team is going to feed everybody Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So you can get off work and come on, and we'll have food here. Now, our bulletin says on the front that we will eat at 6:30 on Wednesday night. We will not, but you can come at 4:30 to 5:45 and get a meal, okay? I want to say thank you to all of you that's helped out. In my absence, I didn't do much anyway, but it was nice that y'all all done what you do. I appreciate every one of you, Pat, Luke, appreciate what all we've done. The shops are dry today except for the manger. The tarps kept everything dry. The gym will be open. So if you want to start decorating this afternoon, feel free to do so. It looks like it's kind of lit up. May be raining, but, we can get out there and get under the shed if you want to, okay? Appreciate all of you. We're looking for extremely, extremely good weather on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we should have big crowds. And all we want to do is get the story out there to people and see souls saved. So we appreciate that. Also pray for, I figured out why my neck pain's still with me. It just come to me a while ago. It says neck pain. Terry's been taking all my medicine. Neck pain, That's a joke, y'all. That's a joke. Y'all, come on, you're supposed to laugh. That was a joke, trying to be funny. Hey, I better end on that. Let's stand. I'll dismiss us in prayer. Father, come to you now. Just thank you for this day and for the service we've had, Father, and for the story and to know that you are God, Father. And, God, we need you in our lives. God, we thank you for that. God, we thank you for the time we've had. We thank you for the week and the opportunities you're going to give us to reach out to so many people. God, just let us be the light for you that you want us to be, God. Thank you for what all you've given us, Father, and for the ones that are here and the visitors, God. Again, go with us through this day, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.